Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for giving us this chance, Lord, to gather in your name, Lord, to continue to read through John chapter 7. Lord, as we continue to read through John chapter 7, Lord, that may you grant us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Lord, to see the interaction between Jesus and this group of this crowd that he's having a discourse with. Lord, may you grant us the Holy Spirit to teach us what you wish for us to learn from this passage and help us to understand it and ultimately to apply it into our own lives also. Thank you, Father, and pray us in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. All right, let's start off first by reading, as usual, John chapter 7, verses 14 to 31. And then we're going to zoom in to look at verses 21 all the way to 24. So we will finish up the discourse from Jesus, by Jesus. So let's read together, John chapter 7, verses 14 to 31. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you still seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" And Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. But of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, 'Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from. And when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from.' So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, 'You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me.' So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because the hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, 'When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?'" So let's read together again, verses 21 to 24. We shall zoom in to look at these few verses today. John chapter 7, verses 21 to 24. Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." So first of all, as we start off with verse 21, we see that Jesus was first interrupted by the crowds. You know, previously in verse 20, they even say that Jesus himself has a demon. You know, they basically cover up everything that Jesus has proclaimed and say that he's speaking nonsense. Why should we listen to you? And so Jesus continued on with his discourse and continued on with his point. As he has mentioned in verse 19, he continued on with it and he answers their question indirectly, in a way that they were seeking for an answer, you know, whether this guy is a madman. But yet Jesus explained himself. He continues on to appeal to their answers. He appeals to their own settlement of this miracle that he has spoken of, and Christ continue with his discourse. Now, what is this miracle that we are speaking about here? What is this one work that he has done? Most likely, we are talking about what we have seen previously in John chapter 5, that very incident, which, as mentioned before, has happened for a while. It's about half a year. It has been about half a year since that very act of a miracle has happened already fall. And so now they continue the discourse. Jesus proclaimed that he did one work, and yet you all marveled at it. How could it be? You know, how could it that Jesus, after doing this one miracle, they all marvel at it? They are not marveling, first of all, we must realize, they did not marvel at the miracle itself. They were not amazed by the miracles, per se. But they were indeed offended. This marvel here is actually more of a negative connotation. They themselves were offended. They were unhappy with what Jesus was doing. Because this is what we see throughout the paragraph. Jesus is asking them, why are you unhappy with me healing a person on the Sabbath? Why are you offended by what I have done on the Sabbath itself? For indeed, they were offended. They cannot but marvel at it, that one work which Jesus have done, and they start finding fault in it. Now realize, up to this point of time, Christ did one miracle, one small act, and it triggered the whole of the Jewish society. It triggered the whole Sanhedrin, so much so that they're seeking to kill him, that they hated him to that point, just because of one work that he has done. Now, this is something for us to, you know, think a bit about, contemplate a bit about. Why? Why so much hatred to Christ? Why do they hate Christ to the core? So much so that they are willing to kill him just for one miracle which he has done, which most of them, mind you, at this point of time, would still be assumed that this work itself was false. It was a fake healing. It could be a magic trick that they have, that Christ has pulled across. And so he continues on to explain about himself, about what he has done. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. Now, we as Christians today, looking back at in the Jewish faith itself, we understand circumcision. You know, it's a sign. It's a sign and seal of the Old Testament covenants that God has given to the Jews themselves. It is for themselves to be separated, to be set apart from the world. Jews, male children are circumcised. In fact, it's so detailed that if you were to look into Leviticus itself, it says that on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So the rule is that on the eighth day, the kid's foreskin should be circumcised. And so the question actually comes, what happened if the eighth day itself is on the Sabbath? Do you circumcise the kids to keep the law of Moses or circumcision? Or do you not circumcise the kid by not doing a work on Sabbath you have kept the Sabbath? So this is a very paradoxical question that has been given to many people at that point of time. At least for the Jewish leader, it has been a very paradoxical question that has been thrown to them. So Jesus emphasized a bit there. Not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. When we're talking about fathers here, it's actually referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or what we commonly know today as the patriarchs. We call them the patriarchs. Basically, they're referring to those group of people, those people who have gone before Moses. This law, you must recognize that it was not only from Moses, but this law has been given to previous generation, to the patriarchs themselves. This practice has been there for a long time. It was correctly mentioned by their forefathers, which is the patriarch in that sense. So we need to recognize that. But you realize that this is how Jesus speaks to them. Moses gave you circumcision. Once again, it's a perspective from men. And this is how the Jews have viewed it at that point of time. They did not see the working behind it. They did not see the working of the law and the person working behind the law. They see men. They see Moses. They see Moses giving you circumcision. They see Moses giving you the law. And once this man has given us the law, we follow the law. We do not understand the purpose of the law. We do not understand the significance of the law. We do not understand God's working hand in the law itself. But we just follow Moses. Because Moses gave us this law, we should follow it. And not even recognizing so much so that it was not Moses that came up with this law, but he has started from the fathers already. And so because of that, they themselves put on themselves burdens to carry, burdens of keeping the law, that hoping with a hopeful heart that by keeping this law, they themselves might gain salvation. And so there is the issue there. And another issue that is compared here, that has been brought up by Christ here, which is very obvious to us. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Why is it justified for the Jews to circumcise someone on Sabbath and in a way breaking the Sabbath rest? Now, one of the suggestions that I have looked online as I was reading through for today's session is actually that some Jews have suggested that one of the reasons why this is allowed in that sense to break the law of Sabbath to do this one work is because the law of Moses, the law of circumcision came first. The law of circumcision came first, so it has a higher priority than the law of Sabbath. Now, this is rather interesting suggestion, but it's very interesting if you were to look at it. Why is it the case so? Because they have suggested that the patriarchs themselves also have received circumcision, as received the law of circumcision. So they themselves say that it's right to override it. They themselves say that it's okay to break it in that sense. In a way, being hypocritical on another level, as has suggested by some. Some of the modern day or later rabbis, in fact, up to today, some of the rabbis has suggested that what Jesus has done is correct. Now, remember, the act of circumcision is a removal of a foreskin. It is a taking away of man's body. It is removing something from a healthy person. But yet, what did Christ do? He did something that which was greater. He did not destroy someone's body, but he himself made whole. The emphasis is that I have made a man's whole body well. A crippled man who has been in that same state for most of his life, not being capable of walking, I have made him well. But yet now you are judging me. You see, we see from this whole incident that has been recorded here, that we recognize one thing. The Jews themselves did not even understand God's purpose and God's will. They followed the law, yes, well done, but they followed blindly. They took it as law, but did not see God's mighty purpose behind it. Is it okay to work on the day that God has ordained for rest? Yes, if there's a need to, very well. It's like saying that if it's on the Sabbath day, in our Christian context, it is wrong for us to spread the gospel. It is wrong for us to do baptism on the Sabbath or on the Lord's Day. It is wrong for us to have a child on Lord's Day. You know, that sounds rather incredible and rather idiotic, but yet this is the very statement that the Jews themselves had at that point of time made. The question is thrown to them, do you truly understand the law of God, or do you just see plainly what the law of God says and you follow it without even understanding the heart of God? And this is very true for many of us today. For myself, I'm greatly saddened by so many people out there encouraging weak Christians to read your Bible, because it seems like a good thing. Yes, it is a good thing. Reading the scriptures is what we have been commanded to do. But often of times we forget that reading doesn't mean we understand. Often of times we encourage people to read their Bible, and ultimately at the end of the day, they don't read it and they give up. Simply because they did not read and understand. They cannot understand. They follow what we as men has commanded, but they do not follow God. God's purpose calling us to read scriptures, to understand scripture, is to know him more. The ultimate purpose, the ultimate goal is to know him. It does not mean that we have to spend day in and day out purely just reading. There are many other forms and other mediums which we can learn from God to gain knowledge of God. Instead of reading the scriptures, listen to worthy sermons. Instead of reading scriptures, find a good devotional book to guide you to read the scriptures. It's impossible for us to read the scriptures by ourselves and know everything. It was impossible for the eunuch in Acts to read and understand. He needed a teacher. In a similar way, especially for us young people, you guys need a guide, you guys need a teacher. You cannot read the scripture on your own and understand it. is not how God has designed discipleship. It is not God how God has designed the church to be. For if that is the case, we don't need a church. We don't need a pastor. We just have to gather together and read our scriptures every day. That's it. We don't need someone to teach us. We don't need someone to understand us. And this is the case. Many of us follow the laws blindly. Why do we separate the law and the gospel? Why do we emphasize on the gospel? It's only through the gospel of Christ, what he has done, that we may fully understand the purpose of the law, the heart of the law. That as we continue, since we are talking about Proverbs, this is exactly what he speaks of. We need to know Christ to gain knowledge, to gain wisdom, not just earthly wisdom, but the wisdom to understand and to, in a way, disciples God's law and God's purpose to us. The failure of the Jews to recognize this bloody ordinance that has mixed Saul, but yet they look down on Christ's healing. In fact, they despised it so much that they hated it. They did not recognize that what Christ has done was to bring peace to the people. They did not recognize also, what we see here, the purpose of the law. They thought that by keeping the law, they can set themselves free. But yet we see the hypocrisy previously. By wanting to keep one of the law, they broke another law. By wanting to keep the law of the Sabbath, they committed to murder. They committed to kill Christ himself. How sad it is that often of time this is what we ourselves has been caught up in doing, being so practical about keeping whatever rules that Christianity has placed upon us that we have neglected to look at the cross of Calvary, to look at the one who has forgiven us our sins, to look at him, and it's out of the love for him and his word that we do our duties as Christians. It's something for us to really go back and think a bit more about. There are so many versions of Moses' circumcision in our day-to-day life today. What are they? And are we really misplacing God's purpose and misusing God's purpose in some ways in our day-to-day life? Now, lastly, as we come to verse 24, it says, "Do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment." Now, this may be applied in a few ways, but in particular to this, the work which was quarreled with as a violation of the law itself. You see, on paper, it seems right. Traditionally speaking, in this context, for the Jews, it's okay to circumcise a kid on the Sabbath. Traditionally speaking, no one healed on the Sabbath. Well, all the very obvious reason is that no one was capable of healing someone in the way that Jesus has done so. But yet, by this outward appearance of the act itself, they judge Christ. They judge Christ by the actions which he has committed, the act of healing people. It's not in line with their Jewish tradition. It's not in line with their idea of not working on the Sabbath. They judge him in that manner. It's contrary to the law. And they themselves, well, they did not recognize the law. So yeah, there you go. That is the first way of seeing this appearance that is mentioned here. The acts of Christ compared to the acts of the other leaders, the other rabbis. Which brings me to my second point, which is the second possibility of what we talk about appearance here. It could be in general, talking about Christ, Christ's person, and Christ's preaching, Christ's doctrine, and everything that Christ has spoken in general. Now, going back to that again, appearance itself also might be referring in a similar manner. It might be appearing to the physical appearance of the person, the way they dress. Recognize that Christ himself was a poor man. He's a poor carpenter. How well can he dress? How pathetic it is in the eyes of men Christ will be. And in comparison, we have the rabbis. We have the Jewish leaders. They will have their long robes. They will have the priestly coat. They will have everything that shines out in this world, that stands out to this world, is beautiful. Now, if you were to see that outright as a person, you respect the one with that dress, the gold on his head, everything, the coats and everything and whatnot. You say that he sounds better. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He looks like what he's talking about. So we should listen to him. Why should we listen to that man standing down there who dresses like a beggar, who's wearing a white shirt and walking around? Why should we listen to him? That is judging by appearance. In a very similar manner, that's how the world judges pastors also. It's not by right judgment. It's how much money they earn. Why is prosperity preacher so acclaimed, well acclaimed today? Well, simple. One of the reasons that they have is, of course, besides what they teach, is how they dress. They dress to impress, literally, especially to this generation where everyone is dressing to impress, to look good to others. And by looking good, you're more well-known, you're more well-liked, and whatever you speak becomes true. Now, another appearance that I can be referring to is talking about the doctrine of Christ. Recognize that when they saw Christ, they say they charge him with saying that how could this man have such learning? He has never studied before. What does Christ have to show in his field of study? Nothing. Compared to the rabbis who spent tens of years studying in a seminary in our today's context, spending 20 years studying there to get a PhD in Jewish studies, in whatever study, whatnot. They have much learning compared to this young lad. Jesus himself, around 30 years old, compared to a 60-year-old wise man. Whoa. Should we listen to a 60-year-old? Should we listen to a young 30-year-old? It's crazy. They judge him by that, by his age, by his accreditation. They judge him by the outward appearance. How many certs does he have hanging on the wall compared to the rabbis themselves? How long have you been serving in the church? Or in this case, in the temple compared to the rabbis themselves? But judge with right judgment. The basis of the judgment, as we have to link back ultimately, is to verse 17, has been shown to us. If anyone will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. That judgment must be made, even for pastors today. Are we seeing that in them, the willingness to know God's will? That are we ourselves willing to seek for God's will? That we see that the teaching that is truly from God, or from man's own authority, to seek man's own glory? Or is it to seek God's glory? You see, there it goes again, the judgment from men. Christ himself calls us to judge. Christ himself, in this case, calling the people to judge Christ himself. Judge not by appearance, but judge with right judgment. The judgment that must be based upon what God has shown us, what God has taught us, that we must realize, recognize, and believe, most importantly, that God himself will show to us if we are willing to do God's will. This is something that I will leave with us at the end of today. Think about it. Reflect upon it. What do we seek ultimately? To do God's will we see and judge for our own self the preaching of our leaders, the preaching of the teaching of our teachers? Are we judging them because we want to do God's will? Or is it by outwards appearance? Young brothers and sisters, this is what I fear for in the coming generation. That we no longer care about God's judgment. The real justice and the real judgment lies upon God. It must lie upon God and not on the outward things. Are we careful about that? And the last thing, the most important thing is, are we concerned about it in the first place? So with that, I'll end us off here today. something for us to think more true about. First of all, Moses, the circumcision that is from Moses, how many of that is in the world today? How many of that is around us today? That purely as Christians, our mentality is keeping the law. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't go to bars, don't smoke, don't get a tattoo, whatever. What's the heart and what's the purpose behind all these things we do not even know? We just know we as Christians cannot do this. If we just stop at there, because we are Christian, we cannot do this, you are going to do it someday because you don't understand the purpose and you don't understand the heart behind why you are not doing it or why you are doing it. Seek the will of God, seek the heart of God for you to try to truly understand and treasure, most importantly, the law of God. So with that, I'll end us off here today. Can I have Shupo to close us in prayer?
Okay, let us pray. Dear Father, gracious Lord, thank you for giving us this time that we continue to learn your word, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to have a teacher in Brother Igor, Lord, that he will be able to tell us more things about the Bible, Lord, and that we will not be alone in our pilgrimage, Lord, that we will be able to learn from the brothers and sisters before us, Lord, that we will learn more from the Bible because of them, Lord. We pray that you may give us a knowing heart, Lord, that we may understand why we do such, why we abide such laws and why we follow your word, Lord. Pray that you continue to watch over us as you continue our night, Lord, that for those who aren't coming to night devotion, Lord, that they may be able to listen to it later on, or that they may come, that they may join the next session, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.